words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And if anyone asks you, why are you losing him? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of him. Does the Lord need things? Does he need our help? In one way, not really. And yet the Lord, because he is divine love, cannot do otherwise than create others whom he can love and be conjoined with and bless. So we could say that the Lord wants, and in that sense, needs to love people. The nature of true love is that it looks to other people's happiness and finds joy in their happiness. To feel another's joy as joy in oneself, this is to love. So the Lord delegates jobs for us to do for our sake. The Arcana Celestia says, the Lord acts through heaven, not because he needs the help of the angels, but in order that the angels there may have functions and duties, and therefore life and happiness, in keeping with the duties and services they perform. Happiness comes when we are involved in a useful life and love our uses. In that case, we are working with the Lord, whose whole effort is to make others happy. We share in his happiness when we share in his uses to other people. The Lord shares his uses with us because he wants us to be happy. We can imagine a mother cooking, who, with as much patience as she can manage, sometimes with some enjoyment, allows her little daughter or son to help. She could get the task done much more quickly and painlessly herself, but she knows how much it means to the little one to be included and to have a chance to help and to learn how, so that someday she or he may really help. Meanwhile, the child is helping his or her mother earn patience. Or we can picture the evening chores, such as tidying the house, setting and clearing the table, and so forth. It would be much easier for parents to do the chores themselves than to coax and threaten and cajole their children through them. But then the children would never learn to help, or to think of someone else besides themselves. So the parents struggle with their patience for the sake of the welfare of their children. We can imagine how much better the Lord could accomplish all uses without our so-called help. But because he loves us, he shares these opportunities with us. The doctrine says, the Lord performs uses to people by the agency of people. In fact, we read, he cannot do good to anyone directly, but only indirectly through the instrumentality of human beings. I think he cannot because he does not want to for our sakes. Therefore, he inspires us with his love, as he inspires parents with love for their children. If we receive that love, we are conjoined with God. The Lord's love is inwardly within our love towards the neighbor, supplying both our will and our power. So all the goodness, both on the doer's side and on the receiver's side, is from the Lord and is the Lord's, though it feels like our own love from which we act. True Christian religion says that our relationship or conjunction with the Lord is like light in its action on precious stones. The light is reflected according to the nature of the stones, giving rise to various colors, as if they belonged to the stones, when really the colors are in the light itself. The Lord gives angels wonderful responsibilities in guiding people on earth, inspiring us with all kinds of good affections, such as honesty, chastity, hard work, generosity, mercy, and all the rest. Angels bend us away from evil and toward good as far as we are willing. But really, all of this this is the Lord's doing. And the angels are simply channels for goodness and truth that is the Lord's. The writings add that some things also come to us from the angels themselves. But all the goodness and truth that become a part of our faith and charity come from the Lord alone, even though they come through the angels. The things which come from the angels themselves are the kinds of things that accommodate to our imperfect affections. They are not in themselves good, but they serve to introduce good and truth coming from the Lord. Maybe these are the somewhat mixed motives that we need to get started on our way toward heaven. Our uses here on earth are similar to the angels' uses, in that all the usefulness is really the Lord's. Our uses are to provide the external circumstances to help people to grow spiritually. For example, as parents, we provide food, clothing, shelter, and education. More importantly, we provide an example. We do and say things with our children to help them grow up in a healthy way, spiritually, morally, and physically. The Lord is the one who inspires us with the love and the ideas by which we act. He also provides us with the physical means, the money, the energy, and the time. The Lord is working with our children at the same time. He inspires their good responses to our efforts and provides them with a growing sight of truth. We can readily see that children's minds and hearts develop in a wonderful way, far beyond the little efforts of parents and teachers. Meanwhile, the Lord is doing good to us while we are doing good to our children. He is blessing us with growing patience and self-control, and sometimes with unselfish joy, good laughs without contempt, and insights into human nature, including our own. Does the Lord need us to do good and to restrain ourselves from doing harm? Yes, our choices make a difference to other people as well as to ourselves. Can children grow up healthy if parents are harsh or carelessly permissive? Would anyone say it doesn't affect the children if parents divorce or even abuse their children? And on the other hand, why do we have a new church school with a huge commitment of finance and time and effort it involves? Don't we believe that it can help the Lord bless the students' lives? To take another example, can people find the Word and learn about the Lord, eternal life, the real potential in marriage, and the rational idea of providence, if people who know about these things do nothing to share them? And on the other hand, if we are willing to open our social circles to offer friendship and share ideas that make a difference in our lives, more people will have opportunities to learn with the support of friends. The Lord said, "The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Entreat, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he may send out workers into his harvest." In this sense, the Lord does indeed have a need for us, even though all the good and truth coming from our efforts is his. We can be like the two disciples who had the honor of fetching the colt for the Lord, or like the owners who let the colt be taken for the Lord's need. In the spiritual sense of the word, a donkey and other beasts of burden represent facts and rational concepts. Our life consists in what we love. Information of all kinds serves our loves, helping us get where we want to go, like a donkey carrying its rider. Ideas and information help us define and attain our goals. Many of the uses we perform in this life or the next are spiritually like fetching the donkey. We teach children. We share ideas, information, techniques, and so forth with adults. Each profession and trade has a body of knowledge and skills that can be brought to bear to meet people's needs on one level or another. When we are providing for someone's needs on a physical level, often we can also be providing for uses on a higher level at the same time. For example, an architect contributes a lot mentally and spiritually in creating an atmosphere conducive to useful work and good relationships. An auto mechanic who does his work honestly and with skill provides a service that is essential to many other uses. Perhaps the best example is a mother nursing an infant. The Lord provides the deepest states of peace and innocent love together with meeting the baby's physical need. And the Lord accomplishes these wonderful uses with the help of the mother. The Lord sent the disciples to loose the colt, to set it free, and then lead it to him. In the idea of loosing the colt so that it could serve the Lord, there is an image of the process that goes on in each person's life as we are prepared for heaven. We are owners of knowledges and skills, experiences and convictions. But the Lord is leading us, so far as we are willing, to see that He is the real owner. Gradually, we need to give our ideas, skills, and convictions to the Lord in the way of a colt on which no one has ever sat, that is, free of preconceptions and claims of ownership. The more clearly we see that the Lord does not need our help from any virtue and wisdom that belongs to us, since we have none of ourselves, the more clearly we will realize that we need His help and be open to receiving it. Then willingly we will give our lives to His service. The Lord will also help us see that under His providence, we do not have any needs ourselves, because our Father knows what we need before we ask Him and provides everything that will contribute to our eternal happiness. We don't need to claim credit for all our hard work and sacrifices. All the credit belongs to the Lord, and our happiness comes in serving His uses, not in taking credit. May the Lord choose us for His work and bless us by sending us to do His errands. May we learn to let go of taking credit for what seem like our uses and skills, and find our greatest delight in knowing that in His mercy, the Lord has need of us. That is, He has wonderful jobs for us to do in His service. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.